I thought I would talk today a little bit about true nature. This is a phrase we hear in Zen. Yesterday, when we read the temple rules at the beginning of the retreat, there's a line that says, "Let go of your small self and find your true self." We all know that Buddha realized that there is no permanent self. So what that line is really pointing to is something that I think is a little maybe more helpful. Realize true nature. That phrase, let go of your small self and find your true self, I've always found a little bit daunting. It can sound mysterious, like there's something we need to get rid of and something else we need to find out there somewhere. How do I find that? For me, the phrase realizing true nature is a little bit more helpful because true nature is already completely here all the time. Our practice is to realize that. Yamada Roshi, the great Japanese Zen master, said the practice of Zen is forgetting the self and uniting with something. I think that's also something maybe we have experienced from time to time. It can feel really natural. Can take some of the mystery away from this practice. There are times when we do forget ourself and we connect very intimately. Sometimes we're so, we just completely become so engaged in what we're doing that this self-consciousness falls away. That's not magical. It's not something that's really special. But what happens with that is our ego recedes and we actually connect very intimately with what is arising in this moment. And then the ego comes knocking at the door and starts telling stories and we have to realize that again. So that's our ongoing task. There's another thing that Buddha said. You are already complete. You already have Buddha nature. How many people really believe that? I want to see a show of hands.
Okay.
All right, really? Yeah? Yeah? Do we doubt it sometimes? There's this feeling that there's somewhere we need to go, something we need to get. But our true nature, our true nature is a construct of language. So when we say our, what I want to say is true nature is already present, even in regard to this. Nothing's excluded from it. We have to realize it by cutting through this continually arising flurry of thoughts, ideas, limitations, definitions we put on ourselves, and actually just see clearly. Years ago, somebody asked, I think, Zen Master Jibong, why we wear robes. One good answer is, well, that's our tradition. That's what we do. He gave a different answer, which I found really interesting. He said, when everybody is wearing the exact same thing, true nature appears all by itself. When we take away what I'm wearing, how I'm wearing it, and minimize that, we can actually see people exactly for who they are. It's quite amazing. Nobody walks exactly the same way. Nobody holds their body exactly the same way. That absolute uniqueness becomes more visible when we strip away the distractions of fashion. Not that there's anything wrong with fashion. So this question of true nature is a very interesting one to me, and I want to share a couple of personal examples about this that I encountered a couple of weeks ago when I took a road trip down the Oregon coast. Some of you might know that I've been doing photography as a creative outlet, personal creative outlet. And I've also done it, in a sense, as an informal way to practice. I find it really engaging and interesting. And I just felt like I needed to get out of town. And I found myself with 5 days with no obligations that I couldn't slough off. So I decided to just drive down the Oregon coast. And I'd never been to the southern Oregon coast before, which is reputed to be the quote-unquote best part. A lot of these gorgeous sea stacks, these basalt, almost like magnificent sculptures that just rise out of the Pacific Ocean. And I had seen so many absolutely stunningly beautiful photographs of these places. So, of course, I went on Google and I tried to find the best places to take photography on the Oregon coast. I also told myself that I was going to go into this trip with no expectations. Right. I'm driving down the coast trying to find the most beautiful places to take photographs on the Oregon coast with no agenda. So that became really apparent to me. I found these gorgeous places and they were absolutely spectacular. You know, there's certain instructions I found, especially this place called Secret Beach, which you can either take about a 40-minute hike down to the beach through the marked trail, or you can cut behind a guardrail and there's just enough spots to park about 3 or 4 cars, and you can get down there in about 5 minutes. It's really easy. So I found Secret Beach, and it was spectacular. When you're hiking down the trail, of course, you're hiking through this beautiful Pacific Northwest forest, and then the vista opens up, and we were pretty much at low tide, and the waves were lapping up, and there were 4 or 5 of these gorgeous sea stacks positioned by nature just perfectly, and I had to stop, and I had to take my camera out. I realized a little bit, and it was beautiful, but I realized in hindsight that I was kind of motivated in that moment to take that shot because that's the shot you have to take because you're there. That's the shot also that I've seen 100 times in better weather with perfect clouds, photographed by a photographer who's much better than I am capable of doing. But still, I did my best and I found it really engaging. So I did this in a number of places and I found it pretty satisfying. But I became more and more aware that a lot of the times I was choosing to take a photograph is because it's the shot you're supposed to take. And when I got back home, while I enjoyed them and felt pretty good about them, they weren't the ones that really touched me. I was a little bit outside of it. I was a little bit about, I am taking this beautiful photograph. And I think part of it is, again, as I said, there have been so many absolutely beautiful photographs taken of these iconic spots that it was a little bit hard to touch it in a fresh way. After that, my brother and I, who graciously decided to ride shotgun on this trip, and by the way, did some drawing and watercolors while we were there. So it was a beautiful trip just to reconnect with him for a number of days. Our last stop was in a little town called Yahats. And he had been there before, and he said, we should definitely hit that because it's really cool. And we drove up, and when we drove into that, my immediate reaction was, I felt disappointed. There were none of these monumental basalt sea stacks to be seen. It's just like there's coast and water. And I thought, oh my God, whatever, I'll see what I can do. Then I walked on the beach and found something I was absolutely not expecting in any way, shape, or form. There's a kind of basalt I found out after I came back called pillow basalt. And it's actually formed by magma being released under the water. So instead of having these sharp, jagged edges, they kind of form in a very organic way. And there are bubbles, I believe, if I'm understanding it right. Again, this is all off to the fact because I became so curious about it. But there are these bubbles that are formed in rocks at places. So you have these really unique, soft forms of rock that have these round negative spaces that appear in them. And they're kind of free-formed along the coastline. Very, very dark, like the color of Arcasa, but darker. So it's somewhere between this color and black, really rich color. And in the lowlands, there's this seaweed that is bright chartreuse green. And the seaweed is kind of like a carpet. Like if you found the perfect green shag carpet to put in your 1960s hippie van, that would be the best carpet you could have. And it just absolutely struck me in a completely unexpected way. So this level of expectation fell away. This level of, I have to shoot this, fell away. And was replaced by this just very direct kind of energetic hit. It was not self-conscious anymore. I wanted to look deeply into these rocks and this seaweed, and ended up just shooting all of these photographs, completely engaged in it. For the sake of the talk, I would love to say that my consciousness fell away and I completely merged with these, everything became one. I lost all sense of time, woke up washing on the shore in an orgasmic dream. That didn't happen, but there was a very, because I want to disabuse this idea that seeing, realizing true nature has to be something that's beyond us. It's not. But just by paying attention, it went from, oh, I should take a photograph of this, to something that I can't put into words. I want to say it's beautiful, but even describing it, it's not traditionally beautiful at all, especially in our Western idea of beauty. And this gets to another thing that became very clear to me at that time. True nature was also fully present in those iconic scenes that I shot before. True nature is present everywhere we look. But our relationship to it can be different. Something can come alive, and all of the self-consciousness can sometimes just goes away, and a relationship to something can take on a very immediate moment. So yeah, I knew what my ISO was, I knew what my f-stop was, I knew what shutter speed I was shooting at, but I have to say, it felt just fully engaged in wondering what this is. Hard to describe. But I do feel like I connected with true nature in that moment. It was very rich. One of the things also that occurred to me, getting back to this idea of beauty, which is so served up to us in our culture in a very, very, very narrow way. Some of it comes from the Greek ideal of perfection. We fall into that trap culturally because we're brought up in it, and it's so pervasive, and it's such a stumbling block for us. These rocks that I really connected with, according to any kind of cultural idea, were not beautiful. I think they would be considered beautiful from kind of the Eastern idea of beauty, which comes, a lot of the aesthetics come out of Buddhist insight, impermanence, non-self, asymmetry, finding something valuable in imperfection that also makes it rare and valuable. Rare and valuable. So whatever way we find ourselves thinking we lack something, whether it's beauty in the traditional sense, or being vivacious enough, or rich enough, or well-liked, whatever way we feel we're lacking, whatever, that comes from comparing and true nature is not, cannot be compared to anything. We just see it in and of itself. It is valuable beyond words. I invite you to come up and let me remind you of that anytime you are feeling less than what you think you want to be or need to be in order to legitimize yourself. So I hope we can notice when we realize true nature and see it, and also be able to see it in this impermanent, constantly changing thing we call us. And in the same way, value it when we see it every day, every moment in our day-to-day lives. Thank you.